Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Bates with you for the Breakfast Bite. Thursday, October 18 this morning of 2018. There's a lot to get through. We'll start with the cricket. Disastrous day two for the Aussies. All out for 145. Pakistan at stumps, 2 for 144. They lead by 281 with 8 wickets remaining.
Is that an edge? It is. Beautifully bowled from Yasser Shah. Well deserved. He's beaten the bat quite a few times and he was desperate for that first wicket. And just a little outside edge, it turned and bounced and a nice little catch behind.
Mitch Marsh part of the collapse yesterday as the Aussies slumped to 7 for 91. A lot of work to do if they're to save this test match. We'll hear from Will Pekowski as well. Good news for the Victorians with the young man scoring a double ton over in Perth. A magnificent innings. We'll hear from one of Australian cricket's brightest young stars in just a second. Meanwhile, Trade Week finally wrapped up yesterday, and geez, everyone left it to the last minute, including Essendon, who got Dylan Shill over the line with about a minute to go.
It's fair. We obviously lost two first-round draft picks. Get a second one back. Yep. So we'll be hoping, and hope all the Essendon fans out there are hoping that GWS have a crap year next year. Look, you know, we're just happy to have him.
Adrian Dodoro speaking there. Craig Cameron here from the Gold Coast on their trade period after they lost their other co-captain yesterday, Stephen May, to Melbourne.
Once we got in a position where both captains were not ready to commit to us long-term, we had to change the strategy of the football club. But I think once we took a long-term view to how we were going to build the club and the long-term view in terms of bringing young talent in, it was a pretty clear decision that we needed to clear the decks.
Dane Beams found his way to Collingwood late last night too. One deal that didn't get done was Tim Kelly. He will be a Cat again next year. Here's Stephen Wells.
West Coast were very professional and respectful in their dealings with us, and I think we all knew along the line that it was a long shot that it would happen, and that's the way it's turned out.
Did it get close at all?
Well, we were still talking at 20 past 8 tonight. I think it did get close.
Anna Racing yesterday, Blue Sapphire Stakes Day at Caulfield. Well done to Graham Begg and Written By.
Written By lets down now at the 200 metres. Two lengths, Encryption down the centre, the only danger. It's Written By from Encryption. 50 metres to go. Written By punched out about a length and a quarter. Encryption too good, too classy. Written By from Encryption, a gap, Tony Nocone.
The Caulfield Cup Barry draw yesterday as well. We'll get some reaction from a few jockeys later on in the Breakfast Bite. There's a hell of a lot to get through on your Thursday morning.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
It's also going to be an extremely busy Breakfast Club coming up after 6 o'clock this morning. Half Whitey and Rammer, who would have been a busy man himself yesterday, but there's stacks coming up for you. We've got the early mail before 7 o'clock, as we always do. Lee Chivers, who's got a great story over at the Hawaiian Ironman. We'll chat to him at 6:30, and then a massive footy hour coming up. Glenn McFarlane from the Herald Sun will be in the studio with all the latest footy and racing news. Josh Marnie from Melbourne to join us. Graham Wright from Hawthorn to join us. Adrian Doro from Essendon to also join us. And Michael Barlow will be in the studio as well, discussing his future and what 2019 might look like for him. After 8 o'clock this morning, captain of Melbourne City, Scott Jamieson, before the Melbourne Derby this weekend. David Hussey on that magnificent Will Pekowski double ton yesterday. My goodness, he is some sort of player. And Craig Lowndes after his Bathurst win ahead of another race day this Saturday and Sunday up at the Gold Coast. We'll chat to him to finish the show. So it is a chock-a-block Thursday coming up for you on the Breakfast Club. To the Breakfast Bite now, and we'll go through the cricket scores. First of all, at international level, Pakistan, of course, facing Australia at the moment. This is the second test. Australia held on for a draw in the first. It's going to be a damn good effort if they can hold on for a draw in the second. Looking pretty dicey at the moment. Pakistan 282 in their first innings. They dismissed Australia yesterday for 145. Another collapse, unfortunately, for the Australian batting order. A disappointing day too with the bat. Aaron Finch at the top of the order was the only man with some sort of resistance. 39 runs from 83 balls. Quadra out for 3. Siddle 4. Marsh 3. Head 14. Mitch Marsh 13, 25 for Lavashane, and then brain lapse where he didn't have his bat down standing in his crease, which is pretty inexcusable. That was disappointing for him. Tim Payne out for 3, Stark made 34, Lyon 2, and John Holland not out at the end of the innings on 245 for the Australians. Massive first innings deficit, and Pakistan really rammed home the advantage. 2 for 144 at stumps. They lead by 281 runs with 8 wickets in the bank. For the Australians, in terms of the bowling as well, in the second innings, a wicket for Stark, 1 for 22 from 4 overs. Nathan Lyons bowled plenty, 1 for 59 from 20 overs. And John Holland, a little bit unlucky not to get a wicket or two. None for 17 from 10 overs. So he's been pretty economical, the Victorian. Let's listen now to Mark Waugh. It was disappointing again for Sean Marsh yesterday, as you heard. Dismissed for 3. Let's have a listen to Mark Waugh, what he had to say on the Fox Sports coverage immediately following the Sean Marsh dismissal.
It wasn't a great hour for the Australians. We lost 2 wickets, and one of those wickets was Sean Marsh, a key wicket. We spoke about him being a nervous starter early in his innings, and he gets a lot of low scores, and one of the reasons why is because he loves to feel bad on ball. Look at this dismissal. It was a good bit of bowling by Mohammad Abbas, don't worry about that. But you can just see him searching for the ball. You know, he takes a big stride out of the crease, and then his hands are way out in front of his body. His bat's out there searching for the ball. Finds the outside edge, good catch at first slip. So this is something Sean Marsh has really got to work on. When he first goes to the crease, he likes to hit the ball, but he's got to know where his off stump is, and he's got to play a lot softer hands. Let the ball come under his eyes, don't go out reaching for it. I know it's easier said than done when you're nervous, you want to get off the mark. People are always talking about him being a slow starter, so that's the mental issues he's got to cope with. He just needs to relax a bit, trust his own judgment, know where his off stump is, and play the ball with soft hands and play it nice and late.
So since the Australian summer, his last innings have been 40, 33, 24, 1, 26, 0, 16, 7, 7, 0 and 3. So I'm sure Sean Marsh will be coming under a lot of criticism over the next couple of days. He'd want to score big in the second innings, otherwise his spot come the Australian summer may well be in a little bit of doubt. Let's head now to the state scene, and as I mentioned off the top, really exciting news for the young Victorian, Will Pekowski. We spoke about it yesterday, and it was a question as to whether he could go on and make his century. He did more than that after being around 60 not out overnight. Went on to make a double ton. Outstanding effort. His final score is 243 from 311 balls, including 34s. Victoria making 504 in reply to Western Australia's 208. It's stumps as well. Victoria all over WA at the moment, 4 for 45. They trail by 251 runs with 6 wickets remaining, so hopefully the Vics can close this one out fairly early on day 3. But Will Pekowski, the absolute star of the show, announcing himself at Shield level, this is what he had to say after his innings.
Yeah, obviously pretty special to do what happened today. I guess feels a bit surreal at the moment, but I'm sure if we get the win tomorrow, hopefully it'll sink in then.
I guess coming into the day, you were just hoping to build a good lead, hoping to get your 100 and hoping to build from there. It just must have just felt like a day where just everything went right.
Yeah, I think so. It was one of those, like, if you played and missed instead of nicking it and things like that. So obviously worked out well on a personal level, and from the team perspective, to get nearly 300 in front and then to have them 4 for 45 or whatever it is overnight, obviously we're in a pretty strong position, so hopefully can really hammer on it tomorrow and be ruthless and knock them over pretty quickly.
Is it nice to know, to show that you can do it again? Like, I guess it's one thing to make one century and, you know, that's a great thing, but to show that you can back it up, you know, to start this season in this way?
I think so, yeah. I think I was actually talking to Dad about it probably a month or two ago, saying when you get that second one, it'll almost be more special just because you sort of got that one, but you want to be able to back it up. So hopefully it's not the last one I make, but it was pretty special today to get that done.
Will Pekowski speaking there yesterday. I wonder if he might just come onto the radar of the Australian selectors if he continues in this vein. An unbelievable first Shield innings for him of the season. Fingers crossed the Vics can close that one out a little later on. To footy news, and finally, trade week is done and dusted. Plenty of action on the final day. It went down to the last 20 minutes or so before Dylan Scheel yesterday was confirmed as an Essendon player. 2 first-round draft picks, their 2018 and 2019 first-rounders, both heading to the Giants, which finally got the deal done with about 15 minutes to go. Dylan Scheel speaking here on Channel 9 last night.
Yeah, it's certainly an experience that I'd only want to go through once through my career. Towards the later stages of the trade today, I was getting a little bit nervous, but couldn't be happier that the deal's gone through, and yeah, I'm really excited to be joining the Bombers. Oh, it was certainly a difficult decision. Yeah, like you said, to decide to return to Melbourne. Obviously, I've been at the Giants for 8 years and spent my whole adult life in Sydney, and I've formed some fantastic relationships up there. Yeah, obviously went through a lengthy process. You know, it was between four clubs, and probably got down to two clubs between the Bombers and Carlton towards the end. So obviously I'm not working behind the scenes today, but so I was unsure about sort of the situation of the deal getting done between Essendon. But yeah, look, I tried to stay out of it today, and I let the managers take care of it. And like I said before, I'm just wrapped that Essendon could get the deal done. And you know, I'd like to thank the Giants for cooperating with them. The Giants had obviously made some big trades throughout the trade period, and expressed that they may be able to keep me at the footy club. So there was a conversation there, and I expressed obviously my intention to still come down to Melbourne, and for them to get a trade done with Essendon, which was obviously my preference club to get to. And like I said, I'm not sure how close Carlton were in the negotiations. Obviously, informing them a week or so ago that I'd prefer to go to Essendon over Carlton was a hard call to make, and probably the footy club thought that they may still be able to get hold of me if Essendon won't be able to come through with it.
Dylan Shields speaking there on Channel 9 last night. Another trade that went down very late in the period was Dane Beams. He was able to get to Collingwood in the end, so Collingwood getting there, man. It took a little while, but it did get there. And let's have a listen to Dane Beams, who also spoke on Channel 9 last night after he made the move back to Melbourne, where he started his career.
Yeah, well, it's obviously the second time that I've been through this process now, so it's, I can tell you that it doesn't get any easier. From about 3 o'clock this afternoon, I was, you know, the palms were getting sweaty, the feet were getting sweaty, so I was getting a little bit anxious about the whole situation. But you know, luckily enough, I've got, you know, a very good management group, and I, you know, two clubs that were willing to do a deal, which is fantastic for myself and my family. You know, obviously the passing of my father was well documented throughout the year, and the struggles that I had, you know, with some mental illness issues and some grief. And to be honest, I'm still working through those issues. By no means have they gone away. And I guess I went to the footy club just before the season had finished, and we had a really mature conversation, myself, Greg Swan and David Noble, about the possibility of maybe returning to Victoria. I let them know, and I was as honest as I could be with them. I let them know that in 2 years' time that I wouldn't sign another contract with Brisbane, and I'd be coming back to Melbourne, basically so that they could, you know, get the best possible outcome for their footy club, because I love the Brisbane Lions Footy Club. I've loved everything they've done for me, and you know, I wanted this to work for both parties. So, you know, my preference was to get back to Melbourne as soon as possible. At that stage, the club was sort of a little bit against it, and they see me as, you know, part of their plans moving forward for at least the next 12 months anyway, knowing that I still had 24 months to run on my contract. And my wife and I discussed the you know, possibility that I'd still, you know, be in Brisbane for at least 12 months, and then we'd maybe revisit it after the 2019 season. But yeah, I guess after the best and fairest, and once this trade period opened up, I guess discussions between both clubs started to happen, and then I was made aware of those, and I guess the possibility of me returning back to Victoria. And at the time, I was already in Victoria, so it felt right. To be honest, it's probably one of the only things this year that's made sense to me, and I've been really clear about in my head about that being back in Victoria is where I need to be right now.
Dane Beams there. Pick 41, 44 and Beams headed to Collingwood. On the way back, pick 18, pick 56, and Collingwood's 2019 first-round pick all going to the Lions. So pretty fair deal there in the end. We'll discuss that throughout the morning, no doubt, on the Breakfast Club. Another big deal that went down yesterday saw the Gold Coast Suns lose Stephen May, him and Colin Jasny heading down south to Melbourne, and that was in exchange for pick six. Let's listen to the former Gold Coast co-captain.
They're all really good clubs, but when I met with Simon Goodwin, you know, there was just something about him and their pitch and how they can get the best out of players. And if you look at Hibbert and Melksham, they've been able to go to extend their careers at the Demons and get the best out of themselves. So, you know, I feel like my career's plateaued a bit and I'll take full responsibility for that. But I just felt like a fresh environment and those sort of players and coaches around can only help me. It's a bit hard when I couldn't really commit to the Demons without them having something to give to the Suns. So, you know, it'd be silly for me to come out and nominate Melbourne early and if Frio and Jesse Hogan didn't get the deal done, you know, I'd obviously wouldn't have a destination. So it was well played by my management Hemisphere and Alex McDonald. He played out very well and, yeah, I didn't have to do a lot. About halfway through this year, the club sat me down and wanted to know what I was doing at the end of 2019 and I couldn't give them a definite answer at the time. And so I had to think about my career and where I wanted to play and I didn't want the club to go through another year of speculation about a captain leaving. So, you know, after a lot of thinking and talking to all the right people, the opportunity was too great with the Demons. And sat down with the club and Stewie Jew and John Haynes and, you know, at the start they weren't so open with me getting traded, but after I told them about my reasons and how the club wanted to go in a different direction, we all sort of got a suitable trade out of it.
Plenty more fallout to come from the trade period. Stick around for the Breakfast Club after 6 o'clock. Graham Wright from Hawthorn, Adrian Dodoro from Essendon, and Josh Marnie from Melbourne, all part of the show between 7 and 8 o'clock this morning. To a bit of the other sport-making news yesterday, and racing now, where you heard off the top the Blue Sapphire Stakes yesterday, won by Written By. What's next for Graham Begg's star horse? Have a listen.
Yeah, look, he's got a very high cruising speed, and I said to Geordie before the race, use it to your advantage because obviously he drew well and that. Don't be sort of trying to drag him around, and he's got a good understanding of the horse and lets him roll, and that's his ability to be able to kick off a good speed and you know, and put it away, you know, turning into the straight and maintaining it. Obvious target going to the Coolmore in 2.5 weeks time. He'll have a jump out up the straight Friday week at Flemington, just a little gallop up there. He's got to have a workout somewhere, so we may as well take him and just give him a look at the straight, and he'll be spot on for Coolmore Day.
What percentage do you reckon you had him today?
About 90.
Audio there, courtesy of racing.com. The Barry draw took place yesterday for the $5 million Caulfield Cup on the weekend as well. Kings Will Dream, pretty handy as well. $5 favourite. The number 14 horse will jump from barrier 6. This was Craig Williams yesterday when he found out.
Delighted. I was on the phone to my manager, Jason Bream, just driving into the course, and he said the Barry draw was halfway through. And then once I unpacked my bags and started to walk in, I actually walked past Darren Murphy, and he said to me that your horse has come up barrier 6. So I said, oh, I'm the happiest person. I said, you sure it's 6, not 16? We had a few 16s on the weekend. He goes, no, it's barrier 6. So delighted.
Huey Bowman on the Cliffs of Moher for Aidan O'Brien, and number 3 it will jump from barrier 3, the Cliffs of Moher, on Saturday afternoon in the Caulfield Cup. Looking forward to that. To NBA action from yesterday, and there was a number of Aussies involved in the season opener between the 76ers and the Celtics. Ben Simmons, of course, the star of the show for the 76ers, but they went down by 18 points, 105-87, the final score. But Ben Simmons, if he wasn't scoring, his passing was an absolute feature.
Simmons just takes it across the line. Fultz! Simmons.
Yeah, racked up plenty of assists yesterday, but ultimately falling short the 76ers. Let's have a listen to Australia's best basketballer after the loss.
It was all right. I think it was one of those games where you obviously know it's the first game, first 2 minutes, you know, nobody making a shot. But I think it was a good start for us.
What areas after tonight do you go, all right, I need to get back in the gym?
Everything. I think it just takes time. Got to knock the rust off, especially, you know, with the season starting. It's a lot different than preseason.
How much did you make an emphasis to make sure you were getting to the rim, drawing fouls? I know that for you and Brett, that's been something you focused on.
Definitely. I mean, I focus on a lot, try to get to the line a lot. Definitely take my man low and post him up.
Sticking with American sport for the time being, and the Red Sox yesterday in Boston, getting the job done over the Astros. Boston lead this series 2-1, 8-2 the final score, thanks to Jackie Bradley Jr.
Bradley Jr., a high fly ball to right. Reddick is at the wall, can only watch. A grand slam! Jackie Bradley Jr., a knockout punch here in the eighth.
To the A-League now and the World Game. Lawrence Thomas is Melbourne Victory's goalkeeper. Improved game on game last year and has really established himself as one of the best keepers in the comp at the moment. He spoke yesterday about the Victory's recruits in the off-season before they face Melbourne City on Saturday night.
The names, I guess, for themselves speak it off in regards to their quality. Just really looking forward to see on Saturday night in front of big lights and a good 30, 40,000 people how we turn up, and I'm sure we'll be positive and very aggressive and very strong. So, obviously, myself, big Georg in the middle, Keske, Raul in there, obviously Jimmy up top, and obviously the big suite as well. So I think the spine's quite strong again.
Reports yesterday, too, that Usain Bolt may well have knocked back the massive offer he had overseas, and he might be staying to try and get into the A-League at some stage this season with the Central Coast Mariners. Matt Simon, though, is an experienced man, and he says even though there's a lot of speculation surrounding Bolt, it hasn't become a distraction for the players.
Yeah, I'm not too sure with all what's happening with Usain. It's probably a question for the CEO. No, it's not a distraction at all. I think, you know, he's been here for a couple of months now, so, you know, everywhere we go with Usain, everyone's talking about him. So we've just been down to business, concentrating on the season, and we're, you know, really looking forward to round one and, you know, putting into practice of what we've been doing at training for the last 12 weeks.
Good news for Australian rugby yesterday. Bernard Foley, one of their star playmakers, signing with Rugby Australia for another year, so we will see him, hopefully, in the World Cup in Japan.
What this does is just allows me to prioritise the World Cup, look at, put everything into it. You know, I think I'm very proud to wear this jersey, wear the Wallabies and play for my state. So I think the next 12 months is going to be a huge 12 months for rugby in Australia. And, you know, I'm really excited to be a part of that.
To rugby league, and the rep season continues with the Kangaroos taking on Tonga this weekend. A number of familiar faces will be lining up for Tonga, including Jason Taumalolo, who's an absolute star in the NRL. He chose Tonga over Australia. Have a listen why.
When the game was announced that we're going to play here, I think you know, everyone was painting their cars red and at the time and trying to get themselves ready for this weekend. So you know, this weekend's lead-up will be pretty big, and I'm sure that the boys are looking forward to it. We didn't think that would have this much of an effect on our people, and for them to show up, come up in the World Cup and show their support like that, like they did, I think that just motivated the boys even more to stay with their countries and the country of heritage and represent them more. So.
To tennis now, and the season in Australia will be rolling around sooner than we know. Sam Stosur has a bit of unfinished business, having never passed the second round of the Brisbane International. She was announced yesterday as being back there next year.
Not knowing necessarily how many's around the corner, it'd be nice to go out on a bit of a high with a good result in Australia. So I'll certainly be doing everything I can to try and do that. I don't think there's any secrets. I don't think there's anything I need to necessarily try and do completely different. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but as long as you actually, you know, do what you feel like you can do on the court and prepare and perform as best you can that day, then that's all you can ask for. So I'll certainly be doing that, but it's going to be a tough one to win, that's for sure.
And just to finish the breakfast bite on this Thursday morning, in case you missed it, another lean day for Australia over in Asia, slumping to 145 all out on day two.
There he goes, and straight back and taken. Wonderful catch. He hit it hard. He is so good off his own bowling. It's his second caught bowled in this test match.
Nathan Lyon there picking up a wicket late on day two, but Pakistan at stumps, 2 for 144. They made 282, of course, in the first innings. Australia all out for 145, so that leaves Pakistan with a lead of 281 runs with 8 wickets remaining at the end of day two. They are in a commanding position over there in the UAE at the moment. We'll track that over the next 24 hours, and we'll probably have a result by this time tomorrow. Now to the rest of the footy news from yesterday. As you heard from before, Dylan Shield, Dane Beams and Stephen May all finding homes late on the last day of the trade period. Let's hear from Jason Cripps now. He's the list manager over at Port Adelaide, and he was absolutely rapt to get Ryan Burton as part of the Chad Wingard deal that saw him made a hawk.
We're really pleased to bring Ryan to our football club. We've obviously watched him pretty closely over the last couple of years, and you know, he's obviously a really good player. He's 21, runner-up in the Rising Star, fourth in the Best and Fairest, and you know, we're really excited to get into our football club. And look, we think we can play multiple roles.
To Peter Bell now from the Dockers, and even though they landed Jesse Hogan yesterday, he says he's fairly sorry to see Lachie Neal head to Brisbane.
We are disappointed to lose Lachie Neal. He's won two of our last three Best and Fairest and come second the other year. He's a great player. He's 25 years of age. It's disappointing to lose him. Once Lachie wanted to leave and were able to do a deal that satisfied Fremantle, our members, our supporters, our stakeholders, we were comfortable with that, but it's hard to say goodbye to a two-time Doig medalist.
Half Whitey and Rammer will be back in about 5 minutes or so for all their dissection of what has been a huge trade week, and a lot of the action took place on the final day as well. We'll have it all covered for you on The Breakfast Club this morning. Josh Marnie from the D's, Graham Wright from the Hawks, and Adrian Doro from the Dons all to join us this morning, along with Michael Barlow in the studio. Scott Jamieson from Melbourne City, David Hussey on Will Pekowski's 243 yesterday, Craig Lowndes after winning Bathurst last week, and now they're off to the Gold Coast. And we'll try and get your winner on the early mail as well. There's a lot to get through on a very busy Thursday. Enjoy it, and we'll chat again tomorrow.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.